Welcome back. Mind Bully Podcast. Norris Odiyase. Waquan, my people. What's going on? Let's get it. I've got issues. But I'm so thankful that you're here again for another day, another episode with me. Thank you so much, honestly, from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate the love. Quick shout out, Mally McGahee says, Kingno has a gift. He's an influential speaker and hosts an incredible podcast. I'm so glad he's doing this for all of us. He's wise beyond his years. 5 stars, love, exclamation. Mally, honestly, I'm so thankful for that from the bottom of my heart. Like, I'm just a person. I'm just Norris, but I'm so grateful that people are finding and impacting from this content. So thank you so much. And also thank you so much for the other people that's leaving comments, reviews, rates, likes, all that. I really appreciate it. If you haven't listened to the last episode with Jay Gray, how to stay motivated during tough times, please stop this. Don't listen to any of this anymore and go listen to that. It was a great episode. Appreciate my boy J5 for jumping on the pod with me. This week's episode, I'm so grateful. I'm so turned up to have my dog, my former teammate, to come sit down with me and join the pod. Mr. Trayvon Palmer. He's a professional basketball player, a 6-year pro, and someone with such an inspiring story. Just a kid from Milwaukee with Jamaican roots. Trayvon was in constant conflict with his environment, but he allowed his character to shine through. From leaving the game of football in high school, to signing with a junior college, to play basketball, to the NBA. Trayvon's story is unlike anyone I've ever heard before, a journey in which this podcast is all about. He talks about his upbringing, being a child of immigrants, in which kept him grounded. His candor is honestly so refreshing, and I'm so thankful and grateful to have a friend who just tells it like it is. Man, I hope you enjoy this episode. Trayvon Palmer.
Farscape. Press the record button right now, man. Everything authentic, man. I want them to hear the real, you feel me? Press the record button right now.
Usually I just chop it up anyway, like to start. And then I just go like randomly after I get over my nerves.
You done talked to me a million times.
I'm actually, it's not about that. You know, it's a production. You got to get it right. But hey, this episode is a good lit, whatever you want to call it, episode, because I'm joined with my brother. He's such a solid guy. You know, there's seldom those people in your life that you meet just in a small frame of time that's really locked in or is really solid, just really grounded. And I feel like my guest today, Trayvon Palmer, is one of the guys that I'm privileged to just speak with and share this life with. He's such a solid, locked in guy, focused, but he does it gracefully. So, Mr. Trayvon Palmer, welcome to the Mind Bully Podcast.
Thank you, brother. Those are some nice words by you, man. And I appreciate you having me to share this platform with you, to kind of share my thoughts and my mind with you. Yeah, we've been on a hell of a journey, man. And like you said, man, it's seldom that you run across people that are genuine, that are solid. So when you do run into those people, man, it's a beautiful thing to be able to hold on to those relationships, man, and kind of connect with those people and, you know, keep those people close to you. So it's a pleasure. My pleasure, truly.
Facts. That's love. I was literally before we even pressed record on this thing, I'm like, bro, I'm nervous. And he's just like, bro, you talked to me a million times. What you nervous Facts. About? But Facts. When it's for a lot of people to hear, and I know through him showcasing his story, it's going to touch a lot of people. There's a little pregame jitters, but enough of that. I'm just locked in. I'm turned for this episode. I think you're the type of person, the high character, the foundation. I'm curious to know, the formative years in your life are really when you're in childhood, mm-hmm. in your early years. Can you take me through a time back in Milwaukee, the defining moments, whether it's a good moment or a bad moment, that made you who you are?
Like you said, the formative years, I kind of got to give a lot of credit to my parents. And, you know, my upbringing is a big part of the reason I am the way I am today. Being brought up by parents that are not necessarily born here, but my parents come from Jamaica. So just the core values and things they kind of instilled in me at a young age are kind of different, I would say, than what a lot of people go through.
What were some of those values?
Family, for one. family's probably at the top of the list, but just being grateful more than anything, knowing that people come from kind of less than what we have here in America today. So just being grateful for the opportunities that you have or opportunities that you get and trying to make the most of it, honestly, bro. Like, people out here go through harder, you know, trying to get to this life that we have here in America. I feel like it's a blessing that we have to live the life that we have here. So, man, just taking advantage of that, bro.
Nah, it's like you have parallels, right? Like, you wake up and you're blessed to be here. You live a different life than what they're from. You in Milwaukee, and you walk in and you see this life. Yes, it's not a perfect, beautiful, special life, but back home, you got parents that came from a totally different life. So it's like you're battling between the two. And I can kind of relate to that kind of story. My parents are Nigerian. Mm-hmm. And so you're coming from both families of core values, right? And you're stuck in a neighborhood or a situation that looks nothing what your home like looks right. like. Take me to, I guess, the friction. You know, your parents are telling you one thing, but you walking outside and you like, mom and dad, y'all don't see what I got to go through these days. Can you walk me through a day in your shoes in Milwaukee? Yes, you had the backing of your parents, but if I was to be behind Mr. Trayvon Palmer's eyes back in the day, what he saw, what he did in his stay in his city, should I stand on what my parents say or should I become what this environment wants me to become? Take me to that clash.
I mean, I feel like that's an everyday clash, man. If you go to school, man, you kind of know, you know, right from wrong at a young age. But like you said, sometimes the things that your parents teach you, they don't live the life that you live. They don't see the things that you see. They don't, you know, they're not necessarily growing up the same lives that you live. I would say I was a quiet kid. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't really out too much in the forefront or in the light. I kind of sat back and observed a lot of things. But I was always like a man of my own. I wouldn't say a man at a young age, but I was like my own person, though, you know. So, dang, bro, I ain't going to lie. I got the pre-game jitters, coach.
Exactly. See? Nah, but like, you're solid. I feel like you're so solid and such a high character, dude. It makes sense. It's like you were in these two different environments, two different worlds, and you saying that you were a quiet person, you kind of peaked. Like, so you could learn through example. Like, a lot of the times, people want to learn through example by doing, but you see, like, okay, that doesn't look like it's playing out for you, buddy. Like, for you to sit back, watch, and peep game between your family or your environment, you're knowing and you're kind of creating your own lane. Like, nah, that's not what I want to do. This is what I want to do. This is how I stay in line. If you were to tell old Trayvon Palmer, this is the way you do it, this is the path, what is the one thing that you would tell that kid that is in that clash, in those real moments, what would you tell that kid?
Play the long game, man. I think I used a quote on one of my captions not too long ago. I forgot exactly where I got it from, but it goes, never sacrifice what you want most for what you want in the moment. Kind of like knowing what your end goal is, what your dream is, you know, always keep that first. A lot of people look for, I would say, instant gratification or kind of the quick return on things, whether it be, you know, it could be life, it could be investing, it could be finances. Like, everybody looks for that instant gratification, but in the back of your head, you got to kind of know, like, this is what I set out where I want to do, you know, with my life or where I want to be. So you got to stick to that formula, stick to those steps that it takes to reach that. You know, sometimes you don't see it right away. You might not see it in 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, but you know, you gotta stick to that formula. You gotta kind of believe in that system or that process. That sounds cliche to say believe in the process, man, but you really do have to believe that process. If you lay down the game plan the right way, I feel like it will happen for you.
How do you know that though? How do you kind of lock into that? Because a kid, or if somebody's listening to this right now, and you know, they came from a good home and they're in a tough situation, how do they play the long game when they see, as soon as they step out their room in their house, they see girls or men, they on TikTok, they doing this, oh, make money this way, oh, flip it that way. How do they play the long game when all they see is the short game? Like, how do they focus and lock into that? Can you tell me how you found the game of basketball? Like, how did you know this is what I wanted to play professionally? Like, how did that even come about for you?
Man, my story is so crazy, bro. I didn't even really grow up playing basketball. I would say I grew up playing football. So my first team sport that I got into was football, little neighborhood league around the age of 10. That was my first passion for it, was football. Being on a team sport, a tough sport like football, it kind of teaches you a lot of values that you need to survive out here, such as, you know, discipline, teamwork, know, sometimes putting pride to a side, you got to get humiliated at times, but it puts you through a lot of things that I feel like prepare you for life situations, work field, or, you know, just things that come with life. So football was it for me. It taught me a lot of just how to, you know, hold myself as a man. You gotta stand on your own at times in football. You know, it's you out there with other boys or men, whatever age you're playing, but you got to learn how to hold your own out there, because in a sport like that, the weak get weeded out. So football was a big thing for me. It wasn't until I got to high school, I would say, one of the AAU coaches came to a game and, you know, asked me that I want to play basketball. So I think it was my 10th grade year, which made me a sophomore. I tried out for the Playground Elite Warriors, here, a good program here in Wisconsin. AAU circuit, man, my first year on the Nike UIBL circuit, man, kind of just opened my eyes. Like, man, I've been playing football my whole life, but it's basketball. It's lit out here, you know? So
yeah.
I went through that 1 year. That was the year my body started to develop and transfer too. So, you know, I get bigger, faster, stronger. By the time I got in the year two, I fell in love with the grind. Like, it wasn't just a sport for me, but like just to fall in love with the grind is something, you know, see yourself go from point A to point B, or just the growth over time. I fell in love with the work for real.
I feel like, yeah, the work. I think the work and you falling in love with the grind,
man, yeah,
it's kind of symbolizing, or it gives you the mode of life. Like, you could see yourself grow. Oh, I'm getting better in football. Then I changed to a whole different sport that I ain't never played. Right. It's lit. Like, right. And I'm getting bigger, stronger, faster. Right. And it's like, if you can pair this with life, it's like, damn, there's exponential returns on this thing. Like, if I can take this game and take what I know from this grind, like, I love what you said about sports, because again, sports, I feel like, on this podcast, we talk about sports and different things with different people with these backgrounds. But when you look deeper and you peel back the layers, sports is a metaphor for life. It's like you said, you get humiliated, the anxiety you feel even before like a podcast. You feel so many things. You got to communicate with different people. And you got to know now, like, you can't just put it off. You got to know in those moments. And I think sports do a real thing of really building your mentality. And I think from your story, just this is random, but a lot of people listening that play sports that don't know if they can make it and move on to the next level, they can listen to you and just as we go along here, see how each and every step, like, he stays connected with his why, and he's playing the long game from football to basketball to the next steps that he makes. He's playing the long game, and you can see how that exponential return played out for him in his next step. So I love that you said that. That's fire, bro. And I think it's honestly just a mature way to look at life. There's a lot of people, and I know, like, you're passionate about the young ones too, but there's a lot of people tuned in that it's hard for them to lock in. And I think this is just going on a tangent again. I think in our age right now in 2022, it's hard. It's corny. There's a lot of lames out here that's doing different things. If you were to tell somebody, a kid listening to this, like, how do you become Trayvon Palmer? Because you're, again, like, you're solid, bro. And a lot of people, even parents, it's hard to raise kids out here that are solid, like, that, you know, okay, maybe I might do this, maybe I might do that, but I still maintain my Jamaican core values. Like, I know that I will never play myself out of my position. How would you advise a kid to, like, never trick yourself out of the position you're in?
Man, as a kid, you got to kind of be yourself, man. Allow yourself to wonder. Allow yourself to ask questions, man. Allow yourself to grow. I don't want to say don't be influenced, because I feel like influence is everywhere, but you got to kind of be your own person, man. Don't let people sway you in one direction over another. Kind of find your own way, you know? I feel like nowadays it's easy. I mean, especially with social media, man, to be tempted to, like, be like other people or do this way because you see this return or that return. But me, man, I always thought I was my own person, man. I don't know what made me like that, but I just felt like I was always doing the right thing. Like, I feel like I'm big on faith too. So, I mean, that might play a part in it, you know, just being connected with your faith and whatever it is that you believe in. Yeah. But I just felt like I was on the right path, that I would see something good out of it. Honestly, I felt like something good would come from it.
Find your own way. I love that. It's hard though. Like you said, you move on, high school, Brown Deer High School in Waukee.
Hey, you did your research, I see.
If you take me to that time, like you said, as a kid, I think from ages like 8 to 18 is your real impressionable years. You're really swayed. Like, we've been talking about being swayed. And like you just said, it's hard not to be influenced. Can you take me through a time where you were influenced, where you realized, like, I'm not Trayvon Palmer. This is not who I am. This is not what I'm doing. Why am I doing this? And what are the steps of how you got out of that?
I mean, everybody kind of goes through, I guess, trying to find themselves, especially in high school. But you have peers who don't always have the same goals as you or vision as you, or blessed enough to be, in my case, like an athlete. To like, I felt like I was going to play pro, you know. Not all your friends are like that. So you got kids out here doing the wrong thing, honestly. And I felt like there were certain times in high school where I could kind of see myself going down a different path that I wasn't necessarily proud of. So, like I said,
what was the path that you're referring to?
Just being out here kind of connected to, I don't know. I don't know how much you can really say on the podcast, but man, I just wasn't, like you said, I wasn't Trayvon Palmer, man. I was letting kids kind of influence me that, you know, when we're living the same lives. I mean, just because we went to the same school or we were friends at a certain time, like, you know, everybody lives their own different lives and go down their own path. But I just kind of knew that wasn't me. You can kind of see the outcomes of people, bro. Like,
No, and I respect that. I respect your boundaries. I'm just, because I know me, right? In my early age, it was kind of before high school, I was faced with a decision. Like, my best friend at the time, he was in like the gang culture. He was doing different things and he's swaying away from my lifestyle and who I was and who my family was. And I kind of stepped into that and I started doing different things. And I almost thought I was that leading on. Unfortunately, he ended up like losing his life later on in life because of, you know, he stayed on that track. It was only because of the grace of God and I found my family, my faith and different things that I kind of got out of that. I led that. Because I know you, there was a conversation that we had in, I think it was Detroit, where I kind of, you know, some of the times you're with the guys, you joke around, you say different things. And I mentioned like a gang or something like that. And you was like serious. You was like, nah, don't play that shit. Yeah. Like, that's lame.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, what? Like my confidence and my pride was hurt. I was like, what you mean? Like. But I understood what you were saying, and I'm thankful that you said that, because a lot of the times we think like glorifying that type of culture, gang culture or hood culture, street culture is good. But it's like, nah, there's a lot of lives lost from that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pain tied to that. And it's a lot of, you know, it's a hard place to get out of. So when people, like in the moment I did, I think you saying that is really, again, it's mature and it plays to a bigger picture, right? Like, glorifying these things from the past never got you to the place you wanted to be. So the reason why I asked you that is I'm trying to see the mindset of how did you separate yourself from being real involved in those type of things to who you are. But I think your story, even in high school, to stay locked in like that is fire, man. And I think a lot of kids, again, I keep going for the kids because I see you as a leader, like a person of, you know, high stature. So I know any kid listening is listening to a solid guy. Like he stands on his 10 and he knows who he is. So
no, it was definitely a good question, man. I think I do remember us having that conversation. A large part of it is played by the media, man. The media glorifies it through the social media, through the music, through the rap and things like that. Some of those people not necessarily living those lives, bro. And it will take, or sometimes it does take a traumatic experience for you to go through something, or for you to see something, or for you, something to happen to somebody you love, for you to realize like, man, this is real. Like, this is somebody's real life out here. So
right.
I try not to get too drawn into that because, like I said, I do come from a good family. I do have both my parents who've done everything to give me the best shot at life. So I feel like it would be a disservice to myself and to them. I kind of let them down to still get caught up to that. Mind you, it's not easy because...
Yeah. I'm like, isn't that hard? You got a lot of pressure.
Definitely hard. It's definitely hard because you can come... like they say, the environment kind of makes you who you are type of thing, but it's definitely tough. Like I said, sometimes you have to go through something or see something, or, you know, something happened to somebody you love for you to realize like, it's not the path I want to go down, or it's not the chance I want to take. Like, there's just other avenues.
You're unbreakable. It sounds like you go at things head on and you go, you charge forward. I think that's admirable. But if you were to unpeel the layers, just a time, maybe something creatively or in your life, career, but something that you couldn't go head on with, or you were hesitant to step into. Take me to a time where, you were questioning yourself before you did a thing. And then when you did it, it was like, oh, shoot, I should have did this a long time ago.
I try to keep it sports related. Honestly, I feel like switching.
Nah, you can put it life related. Life related. This is a life podcast. Yeah.
But no, this was a big like decision in my life. I think making that switch from football to basketball was kind of a one that people didn't really. A lot of people, even my family, probably my pops included, didn't really agree with. Cause like I really like grew up football, bro. Like I was nice, bro. Like wide receiver, I was all state. You know what I mean? I was all state defense. Yeah. I was really cold, bro. But
you play defense too.
Yeah. You see, I don't know if you can see like all the little.
I was watching some of the highlights. But, yeah. Oh, it just in football, it never shows your face. Yeah, I hate
that's
that.
Kinda, that was one. But like, I don't know, bro. I was kind of like in between. Like, do I want to continue doing what I loved, or do I want to kind of pursue this new passion? And like we kind of talked about earlier, I felt like for me, I felt more in love with the grind or something. Like, you know, I started this journey so late. Like, I got so much room to grow at this. Like, do I go with what I love and I already know I'm good at? Do I want to embrace this new challenge, this new journey? Let me see where this can take me. And it came to the crossroads where I was pretty much telling all the basketball schools, like, no, I'm going to play football. I'm going to go do football. I went on a visit to Illinois State, where they were kind of promising me, you know, I don't know if I should say the school, but it's already out there. Illinois State, they're kind of telling me, you know, you're our guy. You're going to be the number one receiver on the depth chart. Ooh, woo. Cool. Great. I go on an official visit. Mom's and dad behind me sitting down in front of the head coach. I'm like, yeah, you know, we got a half scholarship for you. Ooh, ooh. I kind of blanked. As soon as you said half, I kind of just blanked out, just sitting there like, kind of looked back behind. I got moms and pops. I'm like, man, they done sacrificed everything for me. You know, they whole life to, you know, they done did everything for me to this point. Like, the least I can do is get my school paid for. So in that moment, I turned that down, man, made a call to my mentor. Shout out to Dre. He's one of those people that kind of stayed in my corner. I guess that's another big part of it too, man, to have somebody reliable in your corner, somebody that really wants to see you win, like regardless of the outcome. So I called Dre, like, man, I think I want to hoop. He said, all right, big dog, don't worry about it. I'll make some calls for you. A week later, man, I went to go play junior college at North Dakota State College of Science, man. And that's kind of where my basketball journey started from there.
What were you thinking in that moment? You made the call to your mentor,
man.
And you're like, okay, I don't know, but I trust you. I'm going out on a limb. I'm leaving this sport that I love, but I trust you.
Yeah.
I know I got to leave this sport. I don't have a full scholarship, but I trust my parents deserve for me to have a full scholarship, and I trust you as my mentor. Take me through your thoughts and how you felt in that moment.
Man, that's one of the moments I feel like, one of the first moments I feel like I was really unsure about something. I'm like, damn, like, did I just do that? Like, I know I'm nice at football for sure. I can go out here and kill. I don't care if I got to walk on. Like, I'm going to earn that. But I'm like, for me, in that moment, it wasn't really about me. It was more so for my people at that moment. So I'm like, okay, if you do decide to go do this, you know, like, you got to do it. You can't half-ass it. There's no quitting. There's no, you know, second-guessing yourself. This has to work out. Otherwise, you just fumble. You really just fumble everything for yourself. So I feel like when you put yourself in a situation, man, where quitting isn't an option or failure isn't an option, man, and you just continue, like you said, to push and take that head on, you'll find a way to make it work. Once your back's against the wall, it kind of shows you what you're really made of. Time after time, I showed myself, bro, like, you built for this, bro. Like, you can do whatever it is you put your mind to. I don't care if I want to be a surgeon, man, a mathematician, an accountant, like, just fall in love with the grind and whatever it is that you do. Like, you fall in love with that grind, you're going to see that return, bro.
That is fire, bro. And I think there's something you said over and over and over, grind, 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 grind. But if you're visually, we're looking at each other, but I'm doing this, I'm knocking my knuckles together, grind, grind, grind.
Yeah.
But what happens when you can't grind and it's hurt or you're in pain or things happen in your life? How do you give yourself that grace to pick yourself back up and to grind again? Take me to those real moments where you're in doubt, you're struggling. Yes, you know to grind, but you don't feel like grinding.
Yeah.
How are you able to pick yourself up in that day to give yourself grace and go at it again?
Man, yeah, it's times where, yeah, like you said, you don't feel like grinding. And it's times where you feel like the grind isn't paying off. Like, man, I'm grinding, but like, I'm not seeing nothing from it. Like, no return. I'm grinding. At some point, you start feeling like it's insanity. You and I both know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So man, that's where the faith kicks in, bro. That's where the faith kicks in, bro. Like, you pray on something long enough, bro. And this time, bro, I prayed on the same thing every day for months on end, bro. My first year after I graduated Chicago State, man, I went to go play overseas in England. Was a decent league, wasn't the best league, but it was a way for me to get my foot in the door, bro. I felt like I needed some professional stats under my belt. I needed some, like, you know, a solid start in my career. Mind you, coming out of Chicago State, I had no workouts, no NBA teams. I didn't step in that one NBA jersey in front of no NBA, like nothing like that. So, mind you, I felt like I wanted to shoot my shot at the NBA, but like it just didn't make sense at the time. Even though I felt like, you know, going out on faith, this is what I should do. My agent kind of told me like, nah, let's secure something for yourself. Let's secure. So I went overseas, had a solid year. Once again, no looks, no one knocking at my door. So what I did, they had the open, like the little G League showcase. It was in Chicago, probably like 250 guys in there, man. You got to pay your own way. I stood in line for like an hour and a half. I went in there. I felt like I was killing. I might be wrong. I felt like I was killing. My team went in there, won all the games. You know what I mean? It was like four guys on my team that got selected for the day two part of the event, which was like the guys that they really, really look at. I didn't even get selected for that. Mind you, my team didn't lose any games at all. I didn't even get selected for that. So I'm like telling my agent, like, man, like, you know, like, what's good? Like, what I'm going to do? Woo-woo.
Yeah.
So I continued to work out, prayed on it, worked out. Got a call from he got two calls back. I think one was from the Rockets organization and one was from the Warriors. Like, once you come to like the open camp tryout, but it's like, you know, instead of just coming in as an open guy, like they kind of invited you, quote unquote, invited you type of thing. So I took the Warriors tryout, bro. Man, once I got the call for that, bro, I swear it felt like a prayer was answered. Even though, like, nothing came from that, like, right away, like, just the fact that I got the call, I'm like, yo, like, I prayed for this, and it happened, you know? But she really came, so went in there for the workout, bro. Man, that's a crazy story. Went in there for the workout, bro. I felt like I killed it, bro. I was the last guy cut on the last day, honestly. Shout out to Juan Toscano. Juan Toscano was in there, man. He just won a championship. Shout out to bro. I went in there, walked in with him also, got cut on the last day. They brought me into the office like, yeah, it's a numbers thing, Trayvon. You know, we like you. You did well. It was a numbers thing. I'm hearing it, but I'm like, man, it's, you know, that's what they're supposed to say. Of course, they're going to tell you, like, you.
Right.
Tell me they would like you. If anything happens, we'll call you back. So I'm back home again, working out, still not knowing what's going to happen, but like, the grind, you pumping your fist again, the grind, like the prayer, the faith, like something's going to happen from this. So, like a little, I think the national team where the guys go play for the country, the respected country. I think Juan Toscano was the actual guy that went to go play for Mexico. So there was a roster spot for me for like, I think it was like three games, bro. I think it was two games. I go back out there, happy, you know, first game, didn't play at all. Second game, somebody got hurt. So I ended up getting thrown into the starting lineup. Okay. Like, now you got to show up, TP. You've been praying for this. You've been working for this. Like, it's time to show up.
Yeah.
I go out there, man. Play my heart out, bro. I think I finished like 17-10. I had player of the game. We ended up beating the Texas Legends on a back-to-back. I felt good, bro. I'm like, okay, I'm stamped now. Like, I came. I showed up. Like, what more do you want? I got the little interview after the game. They posted about me. I'm thinking it's good. Get the call into the office again. Same guy. It's a numbers thing, man. We love you. It's a numbers thing. Ooh, I'm like, whoa. I'm like, at this point, I'm like, man, what else you want me to do? Like, you know, well, I feel like I won the game for real. Right. You know, the team, man, for all, but I feel like I did what I could. But he's like, yeah, it's a numbers thing. Ooh, like, we really like you, though. So
how are you able to go after it again? Obviously, after that, you didn't stop playing basketball. You didn't stop grinding. How are you able to do so? And what's the mindset? I think for me personally, I ain't going to lie, each time something like that happens in my career, it's like building in my head. Like I'm becoming anxious to where, okay, I'm going to this. I got an opportunity. I'm going to get it. I'm going to grind. And then it doesn't pay off. And it's like building. It's building. Mm-hmm. It's building. How is it for you mentally when you're approached or faced with another situation? It's like, yeah, you want to get excited. Like, oh, this is my shot. But yeah, you're faced with the past and you remember everything that happened before. Take me to your thoughts. Like, what do you think in those moments and how do you kind of walk yourself through?
I mean, I came up short in a sense, but like still a step forward in what I was. Yeah, I got cut from this NBA or G League team, but like last year I wasn't in front of no NBA or G League teams. Even though I'm taking these incremental steps, like it's small games, bro. Life is about these small games. I'm taking these small games forward. Like, and I feel like for me, what's kind of kept me around the game so long is, man, as long as I keep taking a gain or even if it's a small step forward, man, I'm winning. Like, I might not be winning as much as the next guy or what the guy on TV does or like his story, but like that takes you back to being grounded to you and following your own story and who you are. So that takes you back to the core values that we talked about in the beginning, bro. Like, it's no, you kind of got to be your own person, run your own race, you know, focus on your journey. So I'm like, yeah, man, just came up short, but it's a small game.
That is crazy. That's fire. I think you go from football, you go to basketball, you go to Chicago State, which you highlighted on, then you go to England. Then you start your journey over here. You go from different teams, from Santa Cruz. Then you go to NAS. Mm-hmm. Then you go to NAS again. Yeah. Then you go to Motor City Cruise. And then you're a Piston. So you become a Detroit Piston in all this time and everything that you faced. And, you know, people listening and in life, people often read the headlines and be like, oh, that's a nice, he's a nice looking Jamaican man on the screen. It says Trayvon Palmer, yeah. Detroit Pistons. He's wearing the blue, white, and red. Right. He made it. Oh, that's awesome. Right. People often read that headline, but they don't know the story and how you got there.
Yeah, true.
I guess the year before you got to be a Piston, walk me through those times.
Definitely. So I'll go back to my second year with NAS. Just when I met you and Tariq, shout out to Tariq also, man. The year I played with you guys, I feel like that was one of my better years where I was close on the verge of taking yet another step forward. I feel like at the time we only had one two-way at the time. I believe it was, who was our two-way at the time?
Jared Harper.
I feel like we had one more spot. So I feel like, you know, I was playing well in spurts, like nothing over a long body of period, but in spurts I was playing well. So I feel like I was in contention for that, or at least they told me. They end up giving it to Tariq, who, man, was well deserving of it, man. Shout out to bro again. So from there, I was kind of banking on my play and my networking to have an opportunity at Summer League the following year. As you know, the COVID year happened. So with COVID happening, they selected teams to kind of decide if they wanted to go into the bubble or not. I think it was a few teams that didn't go to the bubble. NAS Suns being one of them, they just were sold to the Motor City Crew. So didn't go to the bubble, didn't go play overseas. So that was a year I really didn't play at all. That was probably one of the toughest years, being that it was the COVID year also. Like, so I'm not playing, took a whole year off of basketball, trying to venture into other things, like to kind of keep myself afloat, trying to keep my mind focused on doing something productive. Mind you, I'm still behind the scenes grinding. But you got to have other things going for yourself also. So
right.
That was probably, man, one of the toughest years. Man, I think my agent at the time took a job position elsewhere. This time I didn't play basketball for an entire year, and now I have no agent. So I'm like, you know, like, what am I going to do next year? But, just from being a good person, I would say, in the connection I've made, man, my guy Eddie Denard put me in contact with an agent, Richard Gray, who he said he seen me play. You know, I told y'all he played like two games with Santa Cruz. He said he came to a game there and seen me play.
Wait, what?
Bro, it's crazy, bro. It was like, I swear, it was like God had aligned everything for me, bro. He's seen me play. He's watching one of his clients there. I think he was Kendrick Nunn at the time, watching him. But then he seen me, and he seen I'm with Chicago State. Rich is also an alumni of Chicago State. So he's like, man, wow, this kid, you know what I mean, went to the same school I went to. So he kind of knew.
Bro, that's crazy.
For me going to Chicago State, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. For me going to Chicago State, though, bro, he already knew, like, type of adversary I had to like overcome to even get to where I am, you know? So he was a big fan of me from there. So once he found that out, he's like, man, like, I want to work with you. Like, you know, let's lock in, whatever, we're going to make this happen. Like, I know what you, man, it's crazy, bro. It is crazy. Once I found that out, like,
yeah. Bro, if you're, not to cut you off, if you're listening to this, bro, he just displays something beautiful, bro. And I think it gives you case studies in your life. Like,
yeah.
That's why you stay locked into your journey. You were on these teams. You got cut twice. And you don't know in that moment that you just showed your ass and you played your ass off and you showed and you put all that heart and pain and struggle into that game. Yeah. And then you got cut. You still showed something. You showcased the skills that you had. And you showcased everything that you've been through your life. He saw you at Chicago State. You never know. Like, that moment led you to him. I think that is fire, bro. And a lot of people listening in their story, they can see, like, the moment they're in right now, yes, it might not play off, but like you said, those incremental, those gains. You X'd it. You triple X'd it after a year where most of the world, unfortunately, lost lives, lost jobs, lost everything. You were able to double that, triple that into something beautiful because of that time that you stay connected with who you were. I think that's fire. Not to cut you off, but I love for you to keep going with the story that you had, because I'm just like, bro, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you hit it right on, man. And even hearing it again, or even hearing me tell the story, man, gives me a little chills telling the story, man, because like, this is 100% like how it happened, bro. And even sitting here thinking back on it, like, bro, that's not by mistake, bro. That's not by coincidence. Like, that's 100% by design, bro. Like, that's just God's work being done on my life, bro. And that's, you know, part of things that I pray for. And when I say my prayers every day, like, just let your will be done on my life, bro. Going from a year of not playing at all, Rich is like, okay, you know, I'm going to try to get you back into the door. But he's like, I'm like, yeah, the Suns were just sold to the Pistons. So now the Nas Suns are the Motor City Crews. And so I end up going in there following summer, thinking it's going to be like a G League workout, man. I get in there, pull up to the parking lot, man. I start seeing like, hold on, that guy look familiar. Like, hold on, he look familiar. Like, oh, this is the actual Pistons. It's not a G League team. Like, I'm out here working out with the Pistons. And so, man, I went in there, not going to lie, again, I thought I killed it, especially from not playing for a year, man. I was so excited, man, to just be playing basketball again, man. And I feel like it showed in my play. It showed in my energy. It showed in my persona, like just being a good person. Like, all that showed in that moment. And from there, man, I was able to, I guess, secure a spot on a G League team, which I was very, very grateful for. Then after not playing for a year, man, I thought they were going to be sending me overseas somewhere, which I would have been happy for that too. But like, just to be back here in the States, man, I was very happy about that. Got me on the Motor City Cruise, man. And that was a blessing all in itself, man. Like, see my boy Norris Adiyasi again in there, man. I feel like everything was just coming full circle for me, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was able to meet you there with Shondre Jones. Shout out Shondre Jones.
Draco.
And honestly, quite honestly, at the time where I met you guys there, I wasn't mentally in a good place. Like, I had just came back from Germany. And it's like, we have two different lives. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm seeing a guy, he's so grateful. He's getting another chance. He's charged. I meet you guys. I'm like, yeah, like, we back. Mm-hmm. Like, the team's back. And mentally, I was out of there. And I think you and Dre kind of knew that. There's one time in the bus, or I think in the locker room, where you were like, do you want to play? Yeah. Like, do you want to be here? Mm-hmm. Like, I think you guys were kind of joking, but it kind of hit me like, I don't know. And there's a lot of times we're on the phone, or, you know, when it comes to training camp, you kind of peep, the older guys know, like, there's like 20 guys in here. Somebody's getting cut. Like, y'all don't know what's going on, but we're kind of peeping like, okay, this is going to happen here. This is going to happen here. And in my mind, I was just like, I wouldn't mind it be me.
Yeah.
And there's something that you guys said, like, why? Like, what are you on? Like, and it kind of clicked for me. It's to be grateful in the moment. But I think, and a lot of people listening to this podcast, it comes from a place of pain. And I was powered by the pain of the past and being in Germany and being in a tough situation with coaches and not playing off well. And for me to jump into a new situation, it's hard for me to switch that off.
Yeah.
And the beauty in your story is, something in you, you're able to switch it off, or at least turn that voice down a little bit to be grateful. I saw you, you're Mr. Trayvon, happy, smiling in those different moments. And it led you to get that Pistons look and to be on the Pistons. I think if you're listening to this podcast and something from your story is so beautiful that it's like your character is firm all the way on, all the way on. Yes, you might fall. Yes, you might falter into different things in your mindset, but you're still charged in who you are, and it gives you opportunities. It draws people towards you, and to get and to step in that, I think it was fire. When I saw you, bro, when I saw you in that Piston jersey, I was like, man, bro, I was just with them.
Yeah.
I was just with them before the season. I saw how happy and how he was. Like, I know what he actually went through the year before, and to see him in that jersey, I'm like, bro, that is so love. Like, I ain't gonna lie. It's weird. There's some guys, when they get a look, I'm just like, him? Like, and it partly is competitive, but I don't like that I'm like that. The sport kind of gets you that way. But when I saw you in a Pistons jersey, bro, that made like my week, because I'm like, bro, this man grinded for this shit, bro. Like, he really worked his ass off for this shit. Walk me through that day, that time, initially, right when you got the call, like, okay, you're getting a call up. Take me to initially how you felt in that moment.
For sure. And I feel like, man, to say that it hits you different because you kind of knew me. You kind of knew what I've been through. You kind of, you know, you seen me for a couple of years, go through the ups and the downs. So I feel like everybody that knew me personally or even knew a small part of my story, I feel like that reaction kind of resonated with everybody kind of the same. Like, you know, whether you know me from up close and personal or from afar, yeah, like, everybody kind of felt that. And I feel like going back to when you, that locker room talk, when you felt like you would be happy if you, you know, I'd be happy if I got cut type of thing. And I was, me and Dre were kind of upset with you at that point, because it's like, yeah, you had a tough time in Germany last year, understandable, but like, I would have loved that tough time in Germany, bro. I was at home, bro. Like, I didn't play at all. So that's where that kind of like being gratefulness, and I feel like that energy of me just being grateful to be around the game again kind of flourished me through the organization with the Pistons, man. And I don't know, I'm just being happy to be there every day, man. The first guy in there, last guy out type of mentality, man. Speaking to everybody in there, man, from the janitors to
I ain't gonna lie, Trayvon, you gonna have to break the shell. Not to cut you off, you gonna have to break the shell a little bit. Take me to how you felt, like, hey, we turned, we lit. Like, there had to be some of that. You didn't just get it and be like, okay, thank you. Okay, hell yeah. Take me to how you felt.
Man, I ain't gonna lie, bro. Like, I felt like part of me was like, yeah, like, come on. But like, the other part of me was like, man, about time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? I work for this. Like, you know, somebody needs to recognize it. Like, yeah, like, you know, like, it's my time. Like, I deserve this, bro. Like, it was a lot of that, you know, going on. And I felt like leading up into the showcase, and the showcase is in December. Like, I played well, you know what I mean? I played my role. You know, everybody has to know their role and what type of job they're auditioning for in the NBA. I feel like I played that well. And we went from going home on the winter showcase to coming back probably, you know, you get like a week off for Christmas. And we came back and I got the call from my agent. Like, you know, it was like four guys that got called up before me. So I didn't really know if I was going to be one of those guys. But I'm like, yeah, he got called up. Okay, he deserved it. He got called up. Okay, he deserved it. Okay. He got called up. Okay. Like, okay, now, you know. I'm out here hooping too, like somebody, you know what I mean? So nonetheless, like, trying to stay grateful. I would never show that, or I would never say that to him, but like, in the back of your head, you're like, okay, like, you know, I gotta be coming. But when I finally got that call from my agent, like, you know, just kind of be ready, you know, you might be one of the next guys getting called up. Woo. Then I got the call from Rob, which is the GM, you know, asking how you feeling, like, you know. Ooh. We've noticed, okay, it's getting real. So then he's like, I want you to come in for this physical, you know, see how things go. Got the physical, you know, signed the paperwork, went to practice. At this point, still didn't hit me yet. Went to practice with the Pistons first day, go through practice. After practice was over, man, I'm walking back to the locker room. I hear my phone, boom, boom, boom. So I walk in there and look at my phone, and I just look, bro, like, just notification after notification, calls, missed calls, texts. I'm like, whoa. Like, at that moment, I knew they put the news out. I see the tweet from Woj. I'm like, whoa. So I think that was the first moment it really hit me, bro, is when I got back from practice, man. I looked at my phone, bro, and it's like people like you, my family, my parents, like, just saying congrats, like, how proud it is. Like, I just sat there for a moment, like, just soaked it all in. Like, what, bro? You know what I mean? Like, the grind. Like, you finally starting to see something from it, bro. So it was like it was one of the best moments for me, bro. I ain't not gonna lie. It was one of the best moments for me, man. Just, to see Woj finally tweet that, felt crazy. To walk into the Little Caesars Arena, man, the day before the game, and just put on the jersey and go through warm-ups, man, listen to Dwayne Casey get a pregame speech, man, to getting called out that I didn't know if I was going to play. I probably expected, like, you know, I might get some time at the end, but, like, they called me, I think, like, second quarter, checked in. I'm like, oh, I was ready, though. Ripped some pants off, ripped the top off, I'm ready, you know what I mean? Like, we playing the Knicks, so I'm like, okay. I'm guarding Kimba. I got to pick up full court the whole game. Like, you got probably a couple possessions to show something. I'm picking up full court the whole game. Like, you got to do something right away type of thing. What's up?
Yeah.
But, you know, I know my niche, so I'm going to go in there. I'm going to defend, man. I'm going to play hard. I'm going to just do all the little – I'm going to do everything it takes, man, and just make one impression on one person, man. And that was one of the things I told myself, man, going into the Motor City Cruise years, man, is every day you get a chance to walk in that facility, man, to try to leave an impression on two to three people, bro. Whether it's saying hello, whether it's, you know, picking up a piece of garbage that's left out, man, whether it's, you know, helping somebody, whatever they're doing, like you say, just be a good person, man. Try to leave an impression on two to three people, man, every day. And that's something I still live by, bro. I feel like, yes, basketball is what gets you into the door. Everybody can play at this level, but everybody can, you know, was skillful in college and killed in high school, but like, being a good person, man, showing that you're a good guy, you got good character, man, you got good morals, and And I always go back to like how I was raised, like when we talked about it again, like what keeps you grounded, bro. And big shout out to my parents again, bro. They instilled that in me at a young age and something I hold on to, bro. It's all just comes full circle for you, bro.
I really appreciate you just walking through and walking us through that timeline. It's like I felt like I was there. I felt like I was a Piston hell. I felt like I was putting on the jersey, matching up against the different guys on the Knicks. Yeah. I felt like I was there, so I know a lot of people listening will appreciate that. So, no, thank you. But it's just it's almost a symbol of life. Like, if you put your heart and mind towards something, like, you can't lose with the, and you stay locked in and your family and you got people behind you and your faith, like, you literally can't lose. It's literally almost a rags to riches story. Like, it's so fire. One thing that I just got from your story listening is knowing being in the team and being in those environments. Okay, like, you got from A to Z quick. Like, you went from the bottom to the top quick. How do you keep your pace? Because now you're in a locker room with guys making the money, guys with the cars, the girls, the money, the shows, different things. How do you stay to your pace and stick to who you are and not try to do what they do because they're there? How were you able to stay Trayvon in those moments?
Man, because I am Trayvon and they're them, you know? They didn't go through what I went through. They didn't have the same story I went through. I wasn't highly recruited out of high school. I wasn't a big name in college, you know what I mean? So we live our different lives. We live our different paths. And yeah, we all here in this moment, but like, I'm trying to do what I got to do to stay here, you know? Yeah, that was 10 days. I'm trying to make it 10 years, you know? So it goes back to, man, just kind of just staying true to yourself, man, being honest with yourself. Yeah. I'm my biggest critic, man. I'm my biggest motivator. Like, I push myself beyond points that any trainer or any coach or any preacher, like anybody would push me. I push myself past that point. So I'm the hardest person on myself, bro. So I hold myself true to my
bro,
to myself
you sound, and you my sound, values. You sound charged, bro, and I love it. I think that's the reason why I draw to you, because there's people, again, like, you know, this guy is solid, like his mindset, and for him to go from one point to another, I think it's beautiful. I think you are able to take from this moment and for the year that you just had from the G League to the Pistons, you're able to be motivated even more so because you got a taste. You got that itch. Now you want it. You want it. You want it. Mm-hmm. I guess when you think about your upcoming year, what are you most excited about?
Man, I'm excited to just be out there. I'm excited for opportunity. Yeah, you got the 10-day, and eventually that 10 days runs out, I should say, but it's a small step. Like, I never put on an NBA jersey before ever. Like, so for me, and even like looking back in my career, things that keep me going is like, Trey, every year or every time you get put in a room or a situation where you have to thrive, like, you've done that. You've done just enough to take the next step forward. So looking back in my career, it's like, man, every year you've done something, man, you've taken a step forward. So why take the foot off the gas now? If last year my step forward was putting on an NBA jersey, like, what's the next step forward from that? Like, how do you one up that? That's all the motivation you need, bro. Like, that's all the motivation you need.
That's far. And before we wrap up, I got a fan question. Joy says, what keeps you going every day?
What keeps me going every day? Thanks, Joy, for the question. What keeps me going every day? Why do I wake up and keep doing this every day? What makes me wake up at 6 a.m. to run hills every day, tired as hell, but to wake up and do it again the next day? I don't know. I might be a little crazy. That might be part of it. I might be a little insane, just a little bit. But I don't know. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty to just give it my best shot and live with the results. Like, I'm thirsty to see how the rest of this journey plays out. I'm thirsty to see what some of the greatest things our life has to offer on the other side of hard work. I'm just thirsty to, like, find out the unsureness, like, what's on the other side of what comes from this. I'm just thirsty to see. I don't know.
I'm thirsty.
I probably couldn't put in the words.
Nah, you just did. You just did. Perfectly. Yeah. I'm thirsty, and I've never heard somebody say thirsty in a positive light like that. But if you're listening, be thirsty. I'm thirsty. Yeah. I'm thirsty. I'm starving. Yum. I love it.
I'm thirsty.
But No, that's fire, bro. And I think this time being with you on this podcast has been special. And I know I've really appreciated this story and your light that you share and just the character that you are. But to close this out, I always ask all my guests this one question. We're on a journey in life. And as we climb from the steps and your steps from Milwaukee to the next step, Chicago to overseas to back over here, the steps to make you a Piston, the journey of the climb is what I showcase on this podcast. And so mentally, when you think about that journey and the battle in your head, overcoming your mind bully, what are the practical steps you do so every single day to overcome your negative voice?
Prayer. Meditation, probably the biggest two things that I feel like with all the craziness going on outside the world or even inside your own head, it kind of helps you find your way back to grounded, back to peace within your own mind. So mentally, you know, I feel like 90% of everything we do is mentally. So to take care of your mental, whatever that looks like for you, it may look like something different for everybody. Just find with us what keeps you grounded mentally. Find whatever brings you back to zero, I would say.
Love, bro. That's fire. You know how I get when I get how I get. They won't know what that means, but hey, you talking about Yeah, duh. Bro, I appreciate it. I appreciate the time you had to take on and to come on this podcast with me. Love, bro. I really appreciate it because I know anyone listening, because I'm like, damn, like that. He did do that. He did go through that. And then he got here. I'm like, damn, that's live. That's really love. And to know you is to love you. And bro, I love your story. So I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart coming on this podcast to share your story.
Man, I thank you for having me, bro, man. It's been a pleasure, man, to meet you, to know you, to grow with you, to watch you grow, man. I love what you're doing with the Mind Bully podcast, bro. And anything we could do to help support one another out here, bro. I feel like it's essential that we do that, bro. So, you know, it's a long lifehood brotherhood we've built. So we want to continue to pour into that.
Love. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love it. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Mind Bully Podcast. My boy, TP, thank you, my brother. Come on and show your love on this show. I appreciate that. Please, if you like this content, if you like what we're doing and building here at the Mind Bully Podcast, do me a favor. Leave this content 5 stars and leave it a review and a rating. It means so much for this platform to grow. More eyes, more ears, more hearts, and more homes can hear what we're building together. Thank you so much. Till the next one. Peace and love.
Hey, Genix, you going off?